Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody.
And good evening.
And welcome to Blog Talk Radio. That's my wife and lady saying good evening with us. Welcome again. We're going to make some changes, so I'm going to get this out the way, the little announcement that we have, and because Blog Talk Radio has had some, we have some difficulties with it. Not only on this broadcast, New Beginnings, but also on Life's Uncertain Journey. So we'll be making some changes. Mr. David, can you tell us the changes we're about to make?
Yes, I'd love to. What's going to happen is you will be able to listen to us on YouTube. All you'll need to do is go to the YouTube channel and put in Charlotte Christian Fellowship. And then you will be directed to our YouTube podcast. When you get there, please remember to subscribe and, of course, hit the little bell button so that every time we're on the air, you'll get a notification and a reminder that you can join us there. I'm also looking into the possibility of having our podcast added to Podbean, which you may be familiar with. It's an app you can download and you can listen to podcasts from there. So you can always consider joining us on Podbean. But next week we'll have more information for you.
Thank you. And by the way, I'll mention also, if you could, the Tuesday night, women who are...
Yes, on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m., I'm hosting Life's Uncertain Journey podcast. And it's primarily for women. And it is, right now we're focusing on developing overcoming faith. And you can watch us on that podcast as well on Podbean. If you go to Podbean and you put in your search for Life's Uncertain Journey, you'll find us there. And we'll also have our channel on YouTube called Life's Uncertain Journey, and you can also visit us there. We are also live on Facebook. So if you look up Life's Uncertain Journey on Facebook, Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m., you can hear the podcast and watch the podcast live.
Amen. And you did say Facebook too, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Facebook is live. You can actually watch the podcast on Facebook Live Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m.
So that's Zoom?
Zoom, yep. Zoom is where we can upload it and you can watch it at any time.
Okay.
But and also you can listen to it anytime, the podcast on Podbean.
Okay, so which one could they listen to live? Britain Act live. Which one is that? Is it Facebook or is it?
No interaction. The only interaction is really on Facebook because we can actually see your comments and respond to them on Facebook Live.
Well,
it won't be an interactive conversation like it used to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so and this right here, would it be interaction coming up next week?
Nope.
Okay, so we won't have interaction where you just have to download in order to listen to the
just go to YouTube and you can listen.
Listen, but no interaction anymore.
Mm-mm.
We'll try to work that out where we can have interaction somewhere because I like the interaction thing, but right now we're on Facebook, on Zoom, and you can call and get on Zoom if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And the link that I send out every day, every week, you can get on there and interact with us if you want to. That's live, okay? And so that might be what we go with. But what I want y'all to know is that because of COVID-19, okay, there has been a social change, and the social change brings about a social movement. And so that's what we're into right now. So I want y'all to understand that although we're using the media, the resource that God has allowed us to use, the word is still getting out. The good news is still getting out. Okay, and that's the good thing about it. So before we go any further, I'm going to ask my wife the prayer simple. We get started with our broadcast tonight.
Amen. Thank you. Father God, we are grateful for this another opportunity Lord, that you've given us to experience your mercy and your grace. We know that every morning when we wake up, it's not on our own volition, but it's because of your mercy, your grace, and your love for us that you wake us up every morning so that we can have another opportunity to get this thing called life right and to get to know you better. So, Father God, we thank you for your presence with us tonight. As we look into your word, we're looking for answers, Father. We want to live according to your word, not according to our ways. And so we know that your word is the way. Your word declares that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. And then John says, the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus Christ. In other words, if you want to know anything about Jesus, if you want to know anything about the Lord, you got to look in his word. That's where you'll find out.
Amen.
Who God is, his character, his nature, his likes, his dislikes, as well as how he interacts with mankind. So, Father God, we ask that your presence be with us, that you will give us illumination in our minds so that we can understand what we're reading. We also ask you, Father God, that you would help us to be mindful to search out the scriptures, to make certain, Lord God, that we're all on one accord.
Amen.
And, Father, that we will not be forgetful hearers, that we become doers of your word and
yes,
not
Lord.
Hearers only.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus'
amen.
Name, amen, amen. Brothers and sisters, first of all, I want to explain what a social change is. A social change is like horse and buggy to the cars. It's a social change. The horse and buggies, the people used to ride around them all the time. But because of time, the socialness, where the people began to grow in the wisdom and knowledge, it became a social change. But instead of riding horse and buggies, they began to use cars. Okay? Cars, horse and buggy, the car is a social change. That social change brought about a social movement. The social movement meant that we can do more things, go faster, you know, get past, you know, places quicker. And so that social change brought about a social movement. And the social movement then again turned about to social change. Well, then you say, what does that mean? Another social change was like the house phone, okay, and sitting at your desk with a very big old box computer to now you actually have a phone where you got a computer on your phone. Social change. Social movement. Brought about the people said they got to be more faster, more move, be more mobile. So brought about a social change. Well, COVID-19 has took it to another level. This level was hit with brick and mortar buildings and stores and stuff, but people didn't go in. The word of God said it would still go out. And then in the book of I forget what book it was, but in, I think it was Matthew. When there was a soldier that came to the Lord Jesus, and he said to him, "Say, Lord, my servant is sick. Would you come and you know, I need you to, you know, to heal him?" And so Jesus said, "Well, I'll come with you." Well, man, the soldier told Jesus, "You don't need to come with me. Just say the word, because I'm a man of authority. When I tell somebody to go do something, they do it. When I tell them to come, they come." And so he said, "All you need to do is say the word," and the same precept. The same exact way. The word of God, what he says, it's going to do what it do. Okay? And the man was not right there with Jesus. The Bible says that the soldier had ridden his horse about 2 or 3 days to get to Jesus. And so the next day on the way back, his servant met him, another servant met him, and said, your servant was healed. So we know that God's word, not only time has no bearing on it, and neither does distance have any time a bearing on it. God's word will not return to him void. So just like then, Jesus said way back when he left here that he's coming back to get us. Okay, he said also that the word will go to the outer ends of the earth before he comes back. This social media, what we're using, is reaching out all over the place. We don't even know how far it goes. We know that one thing, anybody can listen in, and we don't know when they listen in, but the thing is, we know that because once we say the word, we put it out there, the gospel, that other people will share with other people, might listen to it themselves, and lives will be changed. we use what we got in order to get the gospel out there. So that's what this is about. So we just want y'all to know that that the reason we're using this form, one of the reasons we're using it, is because to get the word out, we don't have to get contact with you, don't get time, you know, physically, but the word is what's most important, and it affects you. It affects your spirit, man. So that's what this is about. Would you like to say anything? Okay. The scripture I was referring to just then was Luke 7, 6 and 7, where the man, where Jesus spoke. So that's what that was, and it wasn't in Matthew, it was in Luke. Okay. Our Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. That's what scripture says. Okay, that's Proverbs 15:29. Every Thursday, God willing, we're going to be here. Okay, we're going to be here sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want you guys to remember, please feel free to call in. And we're on, like my wife told you guys a couple seconds ago, we're on different parts of the media. But again, the main thing is to make sure you guys hear the gospel and that you be able to use the word of God instead of just, you know, hearing it and reading the Bible and not understanding, you know, how it can benefit you, okay? So that's what we want you guys to do. And when we study the word and gather and be prepared, what we're doing when we read this word, we're getting prepared for Christ's return, okay? Today he says, be doing the work till he comes back. So that's what we're doing. We're getting y'all, along with ourselves, prepared for Christ's return. He said, when he comes back, will he find faith? What does that mean? And it simply means, will you believe in it? Will you believe when you see him, just like when he comes back, do you believe he's coming back? Do you believe that we're supposed to love one another? Do you believe the commandments that he got to be first in their lives? Do we believe what the word says? Do we have faith in that? Are we still hanging on to the old-time religion? Something like the old song said, come by here. When the Lord says he'll never leave you nor forsake you, so what, he got to come by here before he's with you already? We got to stop that old mentality, that old thinking, that old stinking thinking, as George Myers used to say. But the thing is, though, we got to know what's happening now, what's going on now, okay? The Bible actually, and people today still talk about Jews versus non-Jews. Well, the Bible actually tells about that today. And he tells us this. No one is truly a Jew just because it was born into a Jewish family. Okay? It doesn't mean that. No, a true Jew is whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely, obeying the letter of the law, meaning, you know, cutting off, you know, the foreskin. Rather, it is a change of heart that produces the spirit. It is produced by the spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God and not from man. Brothers and sisters, no one can enter into the kingdom of God without being born again. What does that mean? Be born in the flesh. In the book of Genesis, it says, when Noah was on the boat, there was eight people with it. Him and his wife, his sons, and their wives. It was three sons and three wives. But he said, the Bible says, from the people that walk on this world today, everybody in this world walking today came from Noah's three sons. Then, if you read what he says also, when they didn't spread out like God told them to go multiply and fill the earth, they went to Babel and built this tower. This tower of Babel, they start building stuff, but God actually let us go down. Who was he talking to? Let us. He's talking about Jesus. They went down to destroy them, you know, to tear this mountain up, or they'll be able to do anything. And when he separated by language. But there's still one person with different languages. So people separate by color. God separated by language. Okay? Then when you get to, when Jesus came in the flesh, from the word my wife mentioned earlier, when he came to the flesh, he said, you got to be born again. Born again meaning what? The change of heart. You got to be born in the spirit now, okay? Born in spirit. And so that's what we're talking about when we're talking about you got to be born again. Christ said it first, okay? So now once you're born again and the Holy Spirit gives birth to life, you must now seek the word. You got to now be fed. And we're not talking about just earthly food. We're not talking about the food, the word of God. You need to eat that, digest that, and then fill you, for you can then begin to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. All who believe in him are made right with God. Everybody who believes in Jesus. This is a part of the good news. No one, listen to this, there's no judgment against anyone who believes in Jesus. In other words, you can believe him because you're going to do all the things wrong you're doing, so therefore with the cleanses of sin, you know, because we believe he did that, there's no judgment for us. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged this is what the Bible says, for not believing in God, the one, God's one and only Son. That's John 3:17-18. Brothers and sisters, we're about to get into the book of Romans. We're about to continue reading where we left off last week. And we've been through chapter 1 and 2, went verse by verse. It's very important. It's very important that what we've read already, that you guys remember, apply it to your lives. We read the first chapter was, the people who knew God and refused to obey him. And so God turned them over to do their own thing. Okay, just abandoned them. And remember, it's more than just the sexual people doing things with their body, women and men with men. There's a whole bunch of things there. Lying, stealing, conniving, all that type of stuff, okay? Backstabbing, all that stuff is in there too. So sin is sin. Don't just point it. Homosexuals say, well, I don't do that. I'm saved. And something else is, people that are doing today, they might as well get ready for the truth. It's because you don't drink or smoke don't mean you're saved either. Okay? Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. But then on chapter 2, we read where people who used to do those things were pointed at the people who are still doing them. And God said, when we do that, we let up our problems for ourselves. We sin it. Because now we're accusing them and said, blame, we're the ones accusing somebody and we still do the same things. But God forgave us. So what he's saying is, don't accuse anybody else, search ourselves. And it's when we search ourselves, we'll find that we're no better. But for Jesus saving us, you know, we would be just like that now. But the thing is, we have the person think they saved in verse 2. And on chapter 2, but still accusing the brothers and sisters who are not saved and judging them. So in chapter 3, we're going to get through that in a second. But I want y'all to open your eyes and your minds and your hearts. So as we begin to read and discuss chapter 3 in Romans, let's find out what God is taking us to next. So, Mr. Davis, are you ready to let's dig into chapter 3 and get fed?
Okay.
All right,
chapter 3, reading from the King James Version. You want me to use that or does it make a difference?
Well, what is this version here? I don't know what
King James.
This King James? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I would rather have, you know, what you call it, the NIV, not NIV, but New Living Translation.
Mm-hmm. I have that too.
Okay, that's okay. What I like.
All right, chapter 3. Then what's the advantage of being a Jew? Is there any value in the ceremony of circumcision? Yes, there are great benefits. First of all, the Jews were entrusted with the whole revelation of God. True, some of them were unfaithful. But just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God will be unfaithful? Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. As the scriptures say about him, you will be proved right in what you say, and you will win your case in court. But some might say, our sinfulness serves a good purpose, for it helps people to see how righteous God is. Isn't it unfair then for him to punish us? This is merely a human point of view. Of course not. If God were not entirely fair, how would he be qualified to judge the world? But someone might still argue, how can God condemn me as a sinner if my dishonesty highlights his truthfulness and brings him more glory? And some people even slander us by claiming that we say the more we sin, the better it is. Those who say such things deserve to be condemned.
That's powerful, doesn't it? On your computer, iPad, could you bring the Bible up on your iPad? What you just said is real powerful. Extremely powerful, just in the words that you just said itself. We've just heard that people, when they say, well, if we sin, it gives God more glory. And he says, well, should we continue to sin? Because we say, Lord, should God forbid. We're learning that we can't take God's word for granted and use it to do what we want to do. We have to be able to use the word of God in order to fulfill, give God glory. And when we continue to use God's word in a manner to make ourselves larger than who we are, it's not being biblical. It's being fleshly. Where are you going, Mr. Davis?
No.
Okay. So I want y'all to understand, I'm going to, if I can, I want to bring up the Message Bible. Can I change the message?
What you want
I do, but I want the Message for now. And the reason why I want you guys to hear the Message, because I want you to hear it in a different way, okay? I like to read the two or three versions of everything that I read instead of just reading one version. Because reading one version is okay, do not get me wrong. But when you get to read in two or three versions of the same thing, you'll get that, oh, let me sit this and read by itself.
Chapter 3. So what difference does it make who's a Jew and who isn't? Who has been trained in God's ways and who hasn't? As it turns out, it makes a lot of difference, but not the difference so many have assumed. First, there's the matter of being put in charge of writing down and caring for God's revelation.
Holy, you hear that now? First of all, it's a matter of writing down and keeping God's word, revelation.
Holy scriptures. So, what if, in the course of doing that, some of those Jews abandoned their post? God didn't abandon them. Do you think their faithlessness cancels out his faithfulness?
Did you hear that? So remember, there's no more Jew nor Greek. So now they're saying because they're unfaithful and don't continue doing the word of God, or if we're unfaithful and don't continue doing the word of God, does God abandon us? God says no. Even though we're untrue, God cannot be untrue.
Not on your life. Depend on it. God keeps his word even when the whole world is lying through its teeth. Scripture says the same. Your words stand fast and true. Rejection doesn't faze you. But if our wrongdoing only underlines and confirms God's right doing, shouldn't we be commended for helping out? Since our bad words don't even make a dent in his good words, isn't it wrong of God to back us to the wall and hold us to our word? These questions come up. The answer to such questions is no.
Did you hear that? So remember, when we go wrong, or left or right, and don't continue to be obedient to God's word, he remains faithful. He remains faithful. So when we talk about, well, if I do wrong, give God a chance to get more glory, you know, because I did wrong, he'd give me more grace, and he really he shows off because I do wrong. Don't be fooled. We're talking about what God's doing. So we serve God. God has allowed us and chosen us to serve him. And by serving him, we're representing him. So if we represent him, how are we representing him? Are we doing it through the law? Are we turning people from God because of our actions? This is what this chapter is about.
Most emphatic no. How else would things ever get straightened out if God didn't do the straightening? It's simply perverse to say, if my lies serve to show off God's truth all the more gloriously, why blame me? I'm doing God a favor.
Listen to the foolishness that people have. That's why you just heard the New Living Translation, and you're hearing the Message Bible that breaks it down. we're trying to make sure you understand, get the O out of what God's saying to us when we read the Word of God. You must get the O, because the O means that now you understand. If you don't understand what you're reading, what good is it? It's just like going to school and from first grade to 12th grade, and you come out with a D and say, well, I passed. But what good is that? Because you don't understand nothing. Yeah, you passed, but what do? A lot of people inside the church all from the baby all the way up and don't understand nothing was said. They say, well, I stay in church, I can go to church, but still doing what you want to do. What good is that? We're trying to teach you that in order to please God, we got to not only grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God, okay? And the wrong we're doing, he's trying to correct us, trying to show us now to correct us now while we're babies in Christ. This is we're starting off as babies, and by the time we get to chapter 16, you're going to be a young adult or adult. Mr. Davis, would you like to, this is stopped at chapter 9. What chapter did you stop on?
We want to start at verse 9.
Okay, well, we stopped.
When I start back up again. But I also wanted to say, and I hope that it gives, helps me just to clarify some things.
Okay, good.
That this whole discourse that Paul is trying to make, he's actually setting you up. Because there are people that actually think that as long as they keep the law, they're good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all right. And Jesus had a conversation with the Pharisees about this very thing, because they thought as long as they did all the things that the scripture said to do, that they was called, everything was all right.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus had to bring to mind and say, listen, you have to go a step further. Not only must you not commit adultery, you must not even imagine it in your mind.
Mm.
You see, God, he takes it to a whole new level that they didn't understand. Circumcision was required. It was one of the laws. And they all did it. They all followed the law. God used them to proclaim the law.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? It was an act. It was what Paul would later call a work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? A work that they did that justified them as being righteous because they kept the law. But Paul here is setting us all up to understand that we really don't understand the purpose of the law.
Mm.
And so he's going to break it down to us as we go on.
And as he starts on chapter 9, remember something. This is what the heading says. We're all in the same sinking boat. Go right ahead.
Exactly. Well, then, should we conclude that we Jews are better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul, like the stench of an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. And they have no fear of God at all. And, beloved, I think that we can pretty much, if we're honest, we can pretty much understand what Paul is saying here. The Jews were the carriers of the law. They were the ones that God called, chose, handpicked as his spokesman on the planet. To them, that meant that they were all that. But God is trying to let them see, no, you're not all that. Because I gave you that responsibility, you didn't even keep it yourself. And so what winds up happening is we have this appearance of godliness. But we lack no power.
Amen.
None.
Amen, baby.
We still lie, even if we don't tell an outright lie, we'll twist up a conversation to make it seem the way we want the person hearing to understand it. But it's still a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way our hearts are. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. That's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you call. I've heard people say, "Well, I just did it from the goodness of my heart." There's no goodness in our hearts. What did the preacher man just say? There is none righteous, none. So when you say that, you telling the person you're saying it to a lie. And so the whole crux of what Romans is trying to get us to understand is our need for God. Because, beloved, you cannot keep the Ten Commandments. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't need to tell you because you know yourself. And we don't. And God knows we can't. He was trying to tell the Jews that back when he gave them the law, they're going to need God to accomplish this. But they said, oh, we can do this. We got this, God. And all the time he was trying to show them, no, you don't. The only way that you can do these things is through me.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, what she just told you and just read to you inside of the New Living Translation, I want you to hear in a different word. The simple version in the Message Bible.
Some people are actually trying to put such words in our mouths, claiming that we go around saying, the more evil we do, the more good God does, so let's just do it. That's pure slander, as I'm sure you'll agree. We're all in the same sinking boat. So where does that put us? Do we Jews get a better break than the others? Not really. Basically, all of us, whether insiders or outsiders, start out in identical conditions, which is to say that we all start out as sinners. Scripture leaves no doubt about it. There's nobody living right, not even one. Nobody who knows the score. Nobody alert for God. They've all taken the wrong turn. They've all wandered down blind alleys. No one's living right. I can't find a single one. Their throats are gaping graves. Their tongues slick as mudslides. Every word they speak is tinged with poison. They open their mouths and pollute the air. They race for the honor of Sinner of the Year, litter the land with heartbreak and ruin, don't know the first thing about living with others. They never give God the time of day.
Just heard the same thing my wife said, same thing the verse said in a New Living Translation. On this time, I broke it down so you can understand it. Your words is dirty as mudslides. Okay, that's where we at. Everybody in the same boat. Stop pointing fingers. Nobody searches after the righteousness of God. He says nobody. Okay? So the only reason we're doing when you're born again, we begin to be transformed into God. That's why we have to be born again. Ready, right?
Okay. Obviously, verse 19, the law applies to those to whom it was given. For its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God.
Amen.
For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands.
Mm-hmm.
The law simply shows us just how sinful we are.
Mm-hmm.
See, we missed that point. We think the law was given for us to do so that we can prove ourselves righteous. Nah, the law was given to show you how you can prove yourself a sinner.
Mm. Amen.
It convicts you.
Amen. Amen.
Of your sin.
Amen.
Okay, because you have no way to redeem yourself.
And the Message Bible says, what it does is force us to face our
complicity.
And everyone else's sin. What does that mean? We got to first, our complicity, what does that mean? First chase ourselves, and then everybody else's. The thing is, we don't want to do that. We want to first point our finger. Go right ahead, Wayne.
Verse 21. But now, God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. As was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And this is true for everyone. Everyone who believes, no matter who you are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard.
Amen.
Yet God, undeserved kindness, declared, you hear that? He declared this, that we are righteous. So you see, you don't have to argue with nobody about whether you're righteous or not. Tell them to check the book. In the book, God declares that I'm righteous because I have believed and trusted in his son. Maybe you can't understand it, and maybe I can't explain it right. But I do know this. If God said it, that's enough. It's enough for me.
What verse are you reading?
24.
Okay. Before you read 24, read 20. 21 says, and it's not in the Message Bible, it says, but in our time, something new has been added. But Moses and the prophets witnessed to all those years has happened. It says, has happened. It says, God has settled some things right that we read about have become Jesus setting things right for us. Did you get that? What God talked about back in Moses' days, Jesus has already done and accomplished it. Jesus has set things right. See, so we don't have to worry about that how to do it and all that. Jesus has come and set things right. That's what the Bible says, y'all. It just broke it down in a different way. Okay, so he set right things for us. And now, and not only for us, but everyone who believes in him. Everyone who believes them. For there is no difference between us and them in this. Since we've complied this, compiled this long story, is that right?
Long and sorry record.
As sinners, both us and them, and prove that we all ultimately and
so we're utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us.
Amen. Amen. So just know this. Without Jesus, we can't do nothing. We can't do anything. Okay? So go over here, wife.
Okay. I want to complete this verse 24. We're in chapter 3, by the way. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declared that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sin.
A pure gift.
Now listen, you got to understand this. This thing called salvation that God has provided, Paul called it such a great salvation, comes in three stages. The first stage is mentioned right here in the book of Romans. Jesus Christ has freed us from the penalty of sin. In other words, there was a price to be paid for the sins that we committed. Okay? Now, the price required was death. Told Adam in the beginning in the garden, the soul of sin's going to die.
Right.
If you eat that tree, you're going to die. Satan comes along, oh, you won't die. And they fell for it. But, beloved, I'm telling you, this death that God is talking about is not just physical death. This is disconnection, no life between you and God, no connection between you and the Father. He is trying in this scripture to get you to understand the relationship he wants to have with you. But it's got to come through his son, because his son was a sacrifice that paid for your penalty. The penalty that you deserve, Jesus took it.
It says also, this was out of out of sheer generosity, he put us right and put us in right standing with himself, and it's a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we were in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be, and he did it by means of Jesus Christ. So we're talking about God, what he did, because he was in the mess. We was in it, y'all. There was no way out and no hiding place. But in spite of our wickedness, he did, he said pure generosity. It was nothing but a gift that he did this. We didn't do anything to deserve it. And he did it all through, this word says, and he did it all through the means of Jesus Christ. For us to accept him as our Lord and Savior and believe and receive him as our Lord and Savior, this is what you get. Go right ahead, right?
For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin.
This was on an altar.
People are made right with God
mm-hmm.
when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice,
that's faith time. That's faith time.
This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past.
Mm-hmm.
For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time.
Mm.
So you see, this is how you can understand why you still breathing. You see, God had condemned us all to death because of sin. Every single one of us were destined for destruction until he sent his son.
Mm.
So God is saying, you got to believe that I did this. You got to believe that I sent my son to save you from death.
Mm.
This is what salvation is all about. This is the gospel message that God loved this world so much that he sent his only begotten son into the world to seek and save the lost.
Amen.
That's us.
Now, Mrs. Davis, I cannot read if I can get us some good. Could you read this?
God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear the world of sin. Having faith in him sets us in the clear. God decided on this course of action in full view of the public to set the world in the clear with himself through the sacrifice of Jesus, finally taking care of the sins he had so patiently endured. This is not only clear, but it's now. This is currently current history. God sets things right. He also makes it possible for us to live in his rightness.
You've heard it two ways now. She just breathed it down to you. This is all a gift. God, remember in the beginning, God sent Jesus into the world to save the world. You just heard it again. This is New Testament. Well, God sacrificed Jesus for us. He did it in front of the whole world for those of scepter. This is our way. When you believe, this is a faith walk now. This is a faith time. Because if you believe it in the faith that he did what he said he was going to do, yes, your sins are forgiven. But if you don't believe, you're about to get the tune back. Go ahead, Wayne.
Verse 27. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No. Because our acquittal is not based on obeying the Ten Commandments.
Hmm.
It is based on faith. Faith in what? Faith on what Jesus did. What did
Amen.
Jesus do? He sacrificed. He was the one that died for me. He took my place.
Mm.
The great exchange took place. I took his place and he took mine. I was guilty. He was innocent. And he took my place as a guilty one, and I took his place as innocent.
Mm.
Baby, I know you can't wrap your mind around it because I can't either. But I am so glad that it went down. Because we now have life, not just an abundant life now and this time, but eternal life because of that sacrifice. And listen, if you don't believe that happened, you can't receive salvation, plain and simple.
Mm.
If you haven't believed it, I don't care if somebody says, listen, I want you to repeat after me. Thank you, Father, for dying for my sins. Amen. Look, if that thing took place in your heart, you just became a parrot. You just repeated what you heard somebody else say, but you have no sense of understanding of what it all means. Here in the book of Romans, Paul is trying to get you to understand what went down. God sent his son to die for you. He took your place. And the only thing he asked you to do You don't have to get up on a cross. You don't have to be nailed. You don't have to be crucified. But you do have to believe Jesus was.
Amen.
You've got to believe that he paid the penalty for you, because it's going to take you somewhere in your heart. When you consider the kind of wretched stuff that we did, we know, we remember, the kind of rank stuff that we did, and God said, that's okay. Just believe in my son, and the sacrifice that he paid for you will get you off the hook.
Yeah.
That's God's love for you. And that's going to be the draw for your walk of faith in Christ.
Amen.
That God loves you so much that he will go that far to get back in relationship with you.
The Bible also says God does not respond to what we do. We respond to what God does. When we finally figure this out, our lives get a step with God. Our lives get a step with God and all others by letting him set his pace, not by pondering or anxiousness trying to run in a parade. But when we get in step with God does, what God says to do, we get in step with him. We get in his parade, not by people, this world, but the thing is begin to follow what God says to do. So remember again, he says God does not respond to what we do. We respond to what God does. Go right here, right?
28, so we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law.
Told you the faith walk.
After all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter whether they're Jews or Gentiles. Well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. You can't even keep it if you don't have faith.
That's right.
And all of that's going to get explained a lot deeper as we go in and go on into Romans.
And also he says this. He says, as she just read to you in verse 29, he says, and where does this leave our proud Jews? Been claiming that, you know, you're having, you know, some kind of corner with God, you know, some time of heads up. Well, this is what the Bible says. It's counseled. Jews got no more rights than this. God says he's the God of the insiders and the non. In other words, the people, the non-Jew and Jews. Okay, he's God over everybody. But if you accept him or not, he's still God. How could it be, this says, how could it be otherwise since there is only one God? He's God over the people who believe and people who don't make no difference because there's only one God. Then he says that God set right all who welcome his actions and enters into it. So that means everybody who welcomes God, but welcomes Christ, believe in him who he is, but did what he said. He says he welcomes both. Both those who follow the righteous, follow his righteousness, and okay, and his righteousness, and those who have never heard of religion. In other words, those people who, like the Jews, have been following the law all the time, and those who never heard the law, both of them, God over both. So therefore, and like I just told you before, it's no longer Jew nor Greek. So the people who are Jewish and the people who are non-Jewish, if you believe in Christ, you're equal in his sight. And therefore, once you believe him, all things, your sins are forgiven, and all things, he makes all things right, you know, for you. It's nothing that we do. Remember he said before, it's a sheer gift. But all of this is accomplished by faith. If you don't have faith, believe me, don't mean nothing. You have to have faith that he did what he said he's going to do, and he done done it for us. He done said he done done it. It ain't that he's going to do it. He's already accomplished it. He's not getting back on the cross again for you. He already said God sacrificed him. But if he sacrificed him and he's raised from the dead, it's already a done deal. We just got to believe it. Remember, you don't have to be a Jew. You have to believe that Christ did what he said he's going to do. Mr. Davis?
Yeah, I just wanted to share something from, it's a little commentary written by the people at HSBC, that's the Essential Study Bible, Holman Study Bible. He says that Paul wove together a number of Old Testament sources, mainly from the Psalms, to demonstrate that we all have sinned and deserve judgment. He then presented the solution to our human predicament. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to live an absolutely righteous life and to become a perfect sacrifice for our sins, to be forgiven and become righteous in God's sight. We need to sincerely put our faith in Jesus, accepting him as the one who died in our place. Salvation is a free gift. As Paul explained in his letter to Ephesians, for you are saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
And this is not from yourselves. It is God's, not from works, so that no one can boast.
Hallelujah.
God did it.
Done deal.
This whole faith walk that we're in is about God working in and through us.
Amen, baby.
We are incapable of living a righteous life on our own.
That's right.
In our own nature, we can't do it.
Mm.
All somebody got to do is cut you off in traffic, and then some words come across your mind. You may not speak them, but guess what? Just like Jesus said, if they went across your mind, that's an indication of where your heart is.
That's right.
You see, you can't fix it. No. God says, I proclaim you righteous.
Yep.
And if I call you righteous, can't nobody refute me.
There it is.
He says, who can lay a charge against God's elect?
That's right.
Nobody. They can try. But you know why? It's not because of the works of righteousness that we have done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about us. It's about our God.
That's right, babe.
And guess what? He has the last word. Whatever he say goes.
That's right.
And if he said it, I'm righteous, guess what? I'm going to agree with him. I'm not going to argue with God. I can go up and offer him some information. You know, well, you know, last week I really wanted to do this, but I didn't. I've been telling that. He knows that. Because the moment I chose to believe in his Son and accept the sacrifice that he paid for me, guess what? My name got written in God's book.
Amen.
Right in that book, on that day, he wrote down, Gertrude Nadine Davis has accepted my Son. She's mine. Now, beloved, are we the sons and daughters of God. Now, the minute you say yes to Jesus Christ, things start to change. But guess what? The change is God's job, not yours. You can't change yourself.
Mm.
You can go through some hoops and make people think you have, but God knows your heart, beloved.
Mm.
You see? God says, no. You give me your body and let me do the work. Give me your body.
Mm.
You'll learn about that later in Romans. And I'll do the work. He says, I'm the one who works in you, giving you both the ability and the desire to please me. That don't even come from you.
Amen.
That comes from God. He is working this thing out for you. And all he says is, just believe on my Son. Don't fight with me.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me your body. It's mine anyway. I made it.
Mm-hmm.
I made it for my glory, not for you. I need to speak to people in this world about what's about to go down. And I'm not coming down and telling them. That's what I left you there for.
Amen.
I want you to tell them. I want you to be the witness for me.
Amen.
And so what he did was put this salvation package together for anybody, he said, that would believe on me. This is how it's going to go down. You will overcome.
Amen.
This world, the devil, and your flesh. But it won't be in your power.
Amen.
It'll be in the power of the living God.
We're winding down. We got like 7 minutes. And before we close out, Mr. Devil, would you please read verse 31 in the Message Bible?
But by shifting our focus from what we do to what God does, don't we cancel out all our careful keeping of the rules and ways God commanded? Not at all. What happens, in fact, is that by putting that entire way of life in its proper place, we conform to it.
What does that mean? Being transformed into the image of God. So when we stop trying to think that we're doing this ourselves and we're making it happen, we're making the way, we say, no, it's God doing this thing, and that we can invest simply by his generosity and the gift he's given. We then begin to accept what God has done, and it takes a process. This is not an easy process because that's a walk of faith. And if those who never heard the word, you know, and even those who heard the word, this faith walk is something that is something brand new. I mean, even to these Romans, like, you know, and these people not in Rome, but the people in Rome, and even these disciples, even the disciples that went to Christ at the time, that Christ don't look at you a little faith. So therefore, these men were with Christ. We're here. We ain't seen Christ. But we're believing in the word he says, so the faith that we have to be in the word that he said, that he's done this for us. So therefore, when we can begin to now shift the focus off of us and put it in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, brothers and sisters, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of being born again. And that way, you'll then allow Christ in our lives, allow him to do the work that he wants to do, to bring us back to him, to be reconciled to him because of him, not because of anything we've done, anything we said, but accepted him in our life as our Lord and Savior. Well, Mrs. Davis, we got 3 minutes. Would you like to say anything and close us out with a prayer?
Yeah, I do. I want our listeners to pray about this and consider this question. Why is it so difficult for us to believe that God wants to give us something? That he wants to give us a gift. The gift of life.
Amen.
The gift of salvation. What makes that so difficult? I remember one year when we were going, we were at the Soul Factory,
mm-hmm.
and our pastor at the time, Deron Cloud, I think he said he was going, you know, trying to give away bus passes for people to ride this bus for free.
Oh, yeah.
And people didn't want to accept it because they thought he was trying to trick them.
Yep.
That's the mentality that we are in right now.
Yep.
That's what sin has done to us. We can't even receive a gift without feeling guilty or like somebody's trying to get over on us.
Yep.
You see? But all that's a trick of the devil. It's a trick of the devil. God wants to give you eternal life, beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you deserve it, but because he loves you and because you belong to him. You belong to him.
Amen.
I know it's hard to wrap your mind around, but God is the one who created us, and we all belong to him. We got carried off by Satan into a lie, and we were hoodwinked and hijacked and everything else, but God wants us back.
Amen.
So he sent his son and his word to do that, to accomplish that in our lives.
Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, thank y'all so much for joining us tonight. We ask you that you be blessed, that you continue to study and read the Word of God for yourself. And if you have any questions, please, we're on Facebook. Please just send us a message, and we'd be more than happy to respond to you.
And you can visit us on our website, charlottechristianfellowship.org, and you can reach us through that portal as well.
And also, a shout-out to our brother. My wife mentioned the name, Deron Cloud and Jill. They up in Maryland. The church name is Church of the Lord's Disciples?
No.
Soul Factor Theater. I'm sorry. Soul Factor Theater. You'll be blessed if you're in that area. Please stop in and visit him. He's a man of God, and he's his wife, and you will be blessed. So to God be the glory. Until we meet again, God bless and good night.
Good night.